scientist and engineer.
Schwamm, the guy that goes around in a yellow van and sells ice cream and other frozen foods?
Yeah, that's S-W-A-N or something, and this is S-C-H-U-A-M.
This was the next guy in the journey name.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, no, previous. Schwamm and Schwamm.
What's that? Oh, you got that one down. Okay. Yeah, I had to give you an easy one this time because the last couple times I haven't really got there yet. Okay. I think I'll let you off on homework today. It's week of prayer. So I gave you a homework last day, right?
Yeah. So does that mean you're going to explain how to
do it? Yeah, I'll be helping you on that today. So anyway, we're looking at Fourier series today. Okay, let's go look back at this and see if we can remember what in the world we were doing. Hopefully we can. We had this square wave. It was this thing right here in black. And we thought maybe we could approximate that square wave by this series here. And this series is made up of these sine functions, okay? And the sine functions all have the same period as the square wave. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if it's going to make up something that has a periodicity of t, well, then this thing better have a periodicity of t too, and it does. You know, what we did was we took the first one right here that has exactly the same period as the square wave, the same fundamental period. And then we looked, I actually kind of did this in my head. I said to myself, well, would a sine wave going twice as fast work? Well, it would work there and it would work here, right? But the problem is it goes down here and up there. And this, the way the symmetry of the square wave is, it looks to me like, you know, I need to do the same thing here as I do there. In other words, it has a kind of a symmetry right about this axis right here, just looking at that little piece right there, right? It's called half-wave symmetry. And it doesn't have that kind of symmetry. Whatever it does on this half, it seems to do the same thing there. And sine, that was going at twice the frequency of this big green one here, if it was going like this, it wouldn't fit that thing. It wouldn't do what I wanted, right? It didn't look like the right thing. So I just left it out. In fact, I said every one of those even sine waves, you know, the one that goes twice as fast goes up and down here, you know, it's supposed to do the same thing here as it does there. Well, it doesn't do that, really. Doesn't have the right symmetry. You know, it's supposed to do the same thing here as it does there. But this odd one does. See, that one is the same there and there, right? That's the same there and there, right? So that's how I kind of came up with this. And then, you know, when we think about this, these things right here, they actually kind of look like, they look similar to the way I was writing vectors. And when I wrote vectors, I said I had a certain amount of each of the unit vectors, or what we call basis vectors, right? I would write a vector as some amount of I plus some amount of j, and so on. And so this looks similar to that. And then I had this kind of inkling that these guys right here, for different n's, if I pick n equals 1 and n equals 2, for example, that they're somehow orthogonal. In fact, you can kind of see that right here. If you look at this 3 and this 1, this is n equals 3, and this is, n equals 1 and n equals 3 here, right? If I was to multiply this guy by that guy, and then integrate over one period of the big guy, what would happen? Well, look at this. It looks like that, you know, the thing might just, this part right here, multiplied by this part right here, you know, might just, you know, it might end up kind of canceling out. And then we actually found out it did last time, you know. If you take and you find out how much of this one is in that direction. And it kind of did. And so we thought maybe we could find these b sub n's the same way we found the coefficients of a vector, right? By doing the inner product of both sides of this equation. Hopefully this is an equation. This guy equals that guy. Take the inner product of both sides of that equation, or the projection of both sides of that equation, on the unit vectors, or actually basis vectors. They may not be unit length. And so what we did, we said, okay, we'll take the dot product. How do I take the dot product when we're doing this thing? Well, when I was doing dot products, I did the x component times the x component, plus the y times the y, plus the z times the z. And here, t is the thing that denotes the components. You know, which component? I'm at the teeth component. So I take the teeth component times the teeth component, and I add them up for all the possible t's, right? So that's what I did here. I did the same thing there. And last day, we actually worked out that second integral. And let's see if I can find out where we did that. It was kind of right here. So we took that second integral. Here's the first integral right here. We just left that there. The second integral, I switched the order of the summation and the integration. And then we just did this integral. And it turned out that this integral was 0 unless m here had happened to equal the n there. And so this integral turned down into this thing right here, delta sub nm times t over 2. So what that means is that these sine vectors, one was orthogonal to the other. And because of this delta sub mn being 0 except when n equals m, it takes this whole summation here that we had that was coupling everything together, and it turns it into just the mth component. And so the mth component multiplied by this scaling factor was this guy. Or we could divide by the scaling factor, and there's what the b sub m was. That tells you how big it is, right? So what I want to do is I want to compute that right there. And most of you guys have done this for your thing because I was supposed to do it in lecture last day, right? So I guess I can do b sub m for the square wave. b sub m equals 2 over, and I guess I'm using 2 over t, the integral from minus t over 2 to, I'm going to break it into two things because I'm going to call this minus 1. In other words, the square wave right here, I'm saying this is minus 1. Oh, no, it's not that square wave. That's the one you got to do on your homework. It's back here. I'm going to say this is minus 1 here and plus 1 there, okay? If you want, you could have it minus a and plus a. I don't care. Well, I'm just going to do minus 1. And then I've got the sine of 2 pi mt over cap t dt plus, might as well put this thing here, plus the integral from 0 to t over 2 of plus 1 times the sine of 2 pi mt over cap t dt. And then a little brackets here. And I don't know, do you guys want me to do this, or should we look it up on Wolfram Alpha, or what do you like? How do you guys like doing these things? Wolfram's fine. Is that okay with everybody? I mean, this is an easy integral, right? Sine, integral of sine is minus cosine, right? And then you have to put the upper and lower limit in. You got to do the same here, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. So I got to go to Wolfram Alpha. Wolfram Alpha, here we go. Okay, Wolfram Alpha, so help me. You guys are going to help me with the syntax here. Is it int?
Int
of...
What have I got?
Minus sin of... And then does it pi?
Yep.
M. Do I need times is in there?
Yeah.
I do. 2 times pi times m times t divided by cap t, right? Just put. Okay, how do I put the limits? Minus t over 2 like this? Something. Is it dot dot t over 2 or is it comma t over 2? You guys remember? Mm-hmm. I'll try this. Okay, and then I got to have the next one was minus that integral, right? Except I got to swap the limits. Or maybe it's from? Actually, I don't want, I want from to zero, right? Copy. Paste.
Didn't we say that was plus?
Okay, I'll do plus. Plus. And I need to change this to a plus here, right? And then I need to change this from a zero to t over 2, like that. And then I need to put parentheses around the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And put a 2 over t in front of it. Like that. See what it says. Is that big enough for you guys to see? See if I can make it bigger. Is that better?
Nope. You don't have enough parentheses. Yeah, I just need to pop it
to. I need a
new out in front.
2 over t.
Well, actually, there's an interpretation below that you could probably click.
More interpretations? Let's go back.
It's the first integral. Just need to know the parentheses on the end of it. Three in the front and there's two at the end.
So let's see, I've got this one. So this one matches this one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the very first one doesn't have the closing. Unless.
There it is. Try IOTVG.
You need one more at the end.
What?
You need one more parenthesis.
No, no.
But let's see. Let's count 1, 2, 3. Back down to 2. Back down to 1. Back up to 2. Back up to 3. Back down to 2. Back down to 1. Back down to 0.
Yeah, try INTEG. It's interpreting that as integer.
Okay.
Integral.
INTEGL or something like that. Oh, here we go. Exact results.
Although you only have the 2 over t in one term.
Why is that?
Well,
I put the wrong parentheses here. I need this 2 over t over here, right?
That was fine.
That's what I needed. And so I need a parentheses like that. So let me try this again. Okay. So 4 sine squared of pi m over 2. Okay, equals, what did I say? 4 sine squared. Divided by pi m. Okay, so that's what b sub m is. So then if this thing works, I should be able to put that in there, right? And plot it, right? So we probably could do this on Wolfram Alpha too, but I want to start getting you used to Octave or MATLAB. So shall I do this whole thing as a new one? Maybe this is better.
Yeah.
If you want, how much time we got here? I can always bring up one I've done previously, but we could. So shall I just? And I think maybe you learn better when I do this. Like, actually, instead of just showing you something, you just copy and paste. So here, first thing I'm going to do. This is going to be an Octave script. This is an editor that I'm in. This is not Octave. This is just like any old editor you like. It's just a text editor, okay? And the idea in Octave is what we can do is we can make little scripts. Okay, those are little programs that will do what you want. Now, you don't have to do it that way. You can type directly into the command line of Octave all this stuff. The reason I use an editor is because I'm liable to make a mistake somewhere along the line, right? And if I use an editor, it's easy to quickly go back and change the thing in the editor and rerun the whole script rather than have to type all that thing all over again because I made a typing error somewhere, right? Does that make sense? So that's why I'm doing the script. Furthermore, you can save this script, and you can use this script as an example for how to do things next time, okay? And sometimes it helps actually to try things out in the immediate, right in the Octave terminal, to try it out, or MATLAB terminal, see whether what you've got works. Also, there's 2 commands you need to know about getting help in Octave or MATLAB. The first one is help. If you do help and then a command, like say for example your lecture worksheet says how do you plot? Well, if you knew the command was plot, you could do help plot. Maybe it's not plot. Maybe it's graph or something, right? So if you didn't know what it was, you could do a look for graph or look for plot, right? And then what happens is it looks in all the help files everywhere there's the word graph or plot. It will bring up that command and give you a list of all those commands, then you can do help the one that you think is most likely to be right. Okay, so we'll do a little bit of that. But first of all, let me show you what we want to do. We want to plot. The idea is I want to plot my guess at the square wave approximation. So can you guys all read that good enough? Is that right? Okay. So notice the little percent sign there. That's a comment. and any comments you put at the top of your script file automatically become the help for this command. This is this script that we're going to call. I'm going to call it something, maybe Fourier function or Fourier plot or something. You know, I would call it some name, and then I put a .m at the end. And this is adding a new function to Octave, my own function, okay, that's going to plot this thing for me, right? So you're extending the capability of Octave or MATLAB by, you know, making your little script. Okay, so that's going to be that what prints out when I go help my script name. And now I'm going to make a t vector because I want to plot this thing from a t goes, say, minus maybe for two periods, okay? Would that be a good thing, two periods?
Minus 0.5 to...
So, yeah, let's just go start. We'll just start out with t equals, say, 1, because, so, you know, if I need to pick some numbers to make this thing work. And then I'm going to go little t, that's going to be my time vector, will be, I'll go from minus 2 times t, and I want to step by t divided by, how many points do we want per period? 100? Then I'll go to 2 times t. And then, you know, if that thing printed out on my Octave screen, it would be a lot of numbers, like 400 numbers or something, right? And it's going to go, and it's I don't want to see that. Okay, that's like kind of you know, I'm gonna have to wait for it to scroll by, and I just don't want to see it. So I put a semicolon after that, and that means be quiet. Okay, that means be quiet. So we're just gonna tell it to be quiet. I did that on the t equals one as well. Maybe I should erase it on the t equals one, so you'll see it prints out t equals one. Okay, that's I can handle that, but I don't want to see 400 numbers starting at minus. You know, minus 2 and going to 2 in this case, right? Now, we're going to need to compute a sum here because this integral, I mean, this sum, maybe I need to write it here, you know. We're saying x of t is equal to, and you know, this m here could have been anything, right? It looks to me like, you know, we said it needed the odd ones, but let's just see if we were right, they should all turn out to be 0, right? I mean, the even ones. Well, let's check and see. We can look at this number right here, and if this is 0 for m is even, we know that my guess was right. Right? Let's check and see. If I put in m equals 2 here, I get sine of pi. What's sine of pi?
0.
Hmm. Well, that worked. What about m equals 4? Sine of 2 pi. Hmm. That's also 0. Sine of n pi is 0, right?
Yeah.
So anytime m is an even number, I'm going to get 0, right? Oh, so you see, I mean, it came out. I didn't have to go this 1, 3, 5, 7, right? So I could do this in two ways. I could make my add up all those terms, the ones that were 0, or I could just skip them. You can see I can skip them because this is 0 for m even, right? So I'm gonna skip. So I need to show you how to do that. M equals 1, 3, 5, you know. And up to, I'm going to say up to a capital M here, because I can't do it forever in Octave, right? Does that make sense? So this is going to be approximately. Is that right?
If you don't want to, I mean, if you don't want to include the even ones, you can just change the variable M to 2M plus 1.
Yeah, that's true. I could. But in general, there would probably be some even ones. It's just because I happen to pick this symmetric kind of a waveform, right? Does that make sense? So I'm going to do this. We got this. And then I'm going to put in this number here, which is the b sub m. I'll just put the b sub m. I'm lazy to write that, right? And then I'm going to put sine of 2 pi m t over cap t right there, right? And I'm going to sum that up. So I got to sum these things up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a little for loop here. So I'm going to go for m equals, let's see, what am I going to start? I'm going to start at 1. I'm going to step by how many?
2.
2, yeah. Step by 2. And I'm going to go up to m, right? Whoops, I better make an m, otherwise when I get there I'm going to be in trouble, right? So m equals, let's start out with 3 to start out with, so we just see what this looks like, then we'll make it bigger, okay? Okay, so for this, for m equals 1 to this, by the way, I can tell this editor, I think that I'm going to, let's save this. Oh, where shall I save this? This is a networks thing here. I'm going to call this Fourier guess dot n, okay? Okay, and I could tell this document type, it's, what kind is this? Set file type, this is an octave script. Okay, so, anyway, so, save, why is it doing that? Okay, so save, and now I want to say, I better initialize this thing here. I'm going to call this sum. I'm going to sum equals, and I'm going to make him zeros, the size of t. Okay, so what does that do? Well, it's the starting out, I'm initializing the sum, I'm going to keep adding in terms to this sum, right? So I start out with the sum is 0. And how big is the sum? Well, it's going to need to be a vector that's the same size as t, right? Because I'm adding in, you know, all the components for all those, you know, things. So I'm starting it out at t, and I don't want to see all those zeros, so I'll put that there. So it's all zeros, and it's the same size as t. There's 400 elements in t. I'm initializing. I'm making a vector that's all zeros, and it's the same size as the t vector. Okay. So I'm going to say sum equals sum plus our first term, right? Or the nth term, which is, I'm going to call it, well, what is it? It's 4 sine squared, 4 times sin. I can do either a dot star multiply or just a star multiply. See, if you don't put a dot in front of the multiply, it doesn't do an element by element multiply. But when you have a number like 4 times a vector is 4 times each element in the vector, so it's the same, right? A 1 by 1 multiplying by something is the same as a dot star multiply, but I'll put 4 times, what was it, sine squared? Sine, I guess I need a parenthesis here, sin of pi times m divided by 2, right? And I need squared, so I need to do dot raised to the 2 power. I guess m is a 1 by 1, so it really doesn't matter. I don't need all these dots here, but I'm still doing them anyway. Dot divide by pi dot divide by m. Okay, and then that's the b sub m, and I need times sine. Okay, so I do dot star sine. I don't really need the dots on that, but I'll just do it anyway. Sine of, what is it? 2 star pi star m star t divide by cap t, right? And I don't want to see all that, so I'm going to put a parenthesis there. You know what I think I want to do? I'd like to plot each of these terms, right? I'm going to take this guy and I'm going to knock that out and put that on the next line. And I'm going to say sum equals sum plus, and we got to call this thing. So I'm going to call this term. Term equals. And I'm going to say sum equals sum plus term, right? And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to probably could even do this, term of m, huh? Then I'd have to make another loop. Let's just do term and I'll put a plot statement in here. Okay, so plot, I'm going to plot t and I'm going to plot it against term. Okay? That's in the for loop. I'm going to plot it over and over. So what I'm going to do up here is I'm going to say hold on. Hold on means don't erase the graph during each plot. Just keep plotting it right on top of the last graph, okay? So this will plot it every time. Then I'm going to say end. And then I'll plot the last one. I'll plot t, comma, sum. And we better make this a different color. So I'm going to make this green, and I'm going to make it a line. Okay? So let's see if this works. So next thing I need to do is I need to start Octave. I've just made a little file with all this stuff in it. So I think I have a terminal window here. Maybe I could use, I don't know which one, I guess I could use this one here. And if I make this bigger so you can see it, is it big enough? I need to CD to wherever I save that. I think that was in my networks folder. Okay. It's ls*.m. Fourier guess is there. Okay, so I'm going to start Octave here. Now the reason I went to that directory before I started Octave, because otherwise I'd have to tell Octave where to look for that function. Okay? So if I start Octave in that directory, I don't have to do that. There's a command in Octave called path, which you can set your path that it searches for functions, you know, and you could path and you could put in whatever paths you want. But it's easier just to go there and, you know, and that way it always looks in the directory which you're in. Okay? .m means an Octave file or a MATLAB file, yeah. So okay, so we started Octave. We got the little prompt down here that says Octave 1, you know. So now I'm going to type Fourier guess. I can even do tab for completion. So it said t equal 3. You see that down in the bottom? T equal 1, m equal 3. And now you can see it's the green was a bad choice, wasn't it? Let me do red next time, okay? You can see the green goes up like this. Shall I fix it to red? It was a bad choice. And maybe we need a few more points. It looks like I was really kind of off when I did my guess on the whiteboard, right? I should have made this third harmonic pretty big compared to this one, right? I added this tiny little thing, right? So I didn't do enough, right? My guess wasn't very good. But let's go back and edit our thing and make it a little better. I'm going to make this a red because I think that'll show up better. And I'm going to make this M7 this time, okay? So save it, and then we just go back here. I just push the up arrow. Do that again. Now I got to find my plot, and it's this thing over here. Ooh, that's getting a little busy now, isn't it? I never took the hold off, so it still has the old ones there, the green one too, right? So you can see I've got all these things. It's kind of a nice thing, you know, when you have hold, you can just keep things there and compare them. But yeah, you can see, you know, they're starting to get smaller. They go smaller as this factor 1 over m here, right? And you can see this red thing looks like a better approximation to the square wave than the green one did, if you can even see the green one, right? Right? So what would you like to see 100 or 500 or what do you want?
Break the computer,
500, okay, 500. Yeah, let's see what my computer will do. We'll just choke him here. Okay, so we'll make 500. Okay, so I saved that. I'm gonna erase the plot before I run it here. See, so I'll change that on the top here. So here's what I'm gonna do to make it so it doesn't so it erases it every time. You do CLF or clear figure, or CLG would also clear graphics. I don't know. Anyway, so And I wrote, oh, did I? Yeah, I think I changed it. Did I save it? Yeah, I must have. It's taken forever. So, anyway.
Well, you have to go down and get the plot done.
It's not done yet. It's still blinking down here. Oh, now it is finally done. You guys made my computer work pretty hard there.
Whoa.
Well, it looks pretty close, right?
Close.
I mean, as far as I can tell. I mean, I could make the plot bigger so you can see it better. Yeah.
Wow.
Looks pretty good to me.
9,000.
Yeah, I don't think you. I think the problem is right now what's happening is the. You can actually see some rounding right here.
Yeah.
And you know why you see that? That's because we took too many points, okay? Let me take a fewer points, and you'll see what's happening here is there's a thing called Gibbs phenomena going. It's bouncing back and forth really fast. And you see there's pixels on my screen, right? The pixels, they have to, you know, it's... Right, well, not only that, but I only picked T over 100. I'm only picking off every T over 100, right? Does that make sense? And you put 500 terms there, right? That's not very good sampling when there's, you know, something's going back and forth, you know, faster than I'm picking, right?
So it's guessing which
it's only
100
picking
of the 500 it wants to use.
There's the screen is pixelating things, and then there's this T. I only picked, you know, every 1/100th of a period, right? So, you know, it's I could probably make it a little better by, I think it would look better if I even changed this down to 100 and made this 200 here, okay? So let's try that, just for kicks. It'll be a little faster now because it's not quite so many. Yeah, now you can see them, right? Okay. You weren't seeing this before because it was picking off boom, 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 boom on each one of those little, the peaks of each of those little waves, right?
Is there a way to make that better?
You just change how many points you have. Because my graph looked like that, and then I changed how many.
Yeah, if you add more points, you'll see this stuff going on here, right? That stuff is really there. If you have less points, you're blinding yourself, basically. You know, it's really there, but you're only picking off on the peaks, right?
Right, but as you add more and more waves...
As you add more and more terms, notice it's getting very much better here, and it's much better than it was before, right? I mean, it's coming close to a square wave, much better than it was with three terms, right? Now... I haven't shown you or proved to you in any way that this is really going to converge. I really haven't, you know. All I've said was, look at, if this does equal, this would be a way to find those coefficients, right? It's kind of like if I had a vector in 3 space and I'm stuck, you know, I'm looking on the board, right? I could find the components of this vector in the direction of the board, you know, the projection of this onto the board. And that's really what we have here with this red thing right here. This is the projection of those first however many terms I took, first m terms, right? This is the projection of those first m terms onto, the whole thing. It's kind of like the projection of the whole thing onto that 500 space or 200 m space thing, right? So I haven't got the whole vector, you know, and as you keep including more and more dimensions, you get closer and closer, right? One of the things you will find with the square wave is that this jump right here, I think this jump right here doesn't get, what happens is it kind of gets squeezed together more than it gets crunched this way. Okay? So in the limit, it actually works. Now, if there's a handout that I passed out to you, this Schwamm's outline, and, you know, a couple, 3 pages, Xerox stop of mathematics for scientists and engineers. And for those of you who are interested in proofs, you know, you like those kind of things, that will give you the proof, that it actually does converge and it actually does equal in the cases where you meet what are called the Dirichlet conditions. And the Dirichlet conditions are that wherever there's a discontinuity, the function has to go to the average value. Like, notice there's a discontinuity in the square wave between here and here, you know, when we did that, right? And in that case, we had to take the average value right here, which was right in the middle. We saw that the sine waves all went through zero at that point, right? There's no way, no matter how many of them we add up, they're ever going to equal anything but zero right there, right? You can see that. So at places of discontinuity, one of the Dirichlet conditions says that your function has to pick the average value there. Otherwise, the Fourier series won't converge. Like, it won't converge if I had a black dot, you know, on the right here and a black dot down there. The black dot has to be right here, you know, at the average place. And then there's, you know, a couple other things about, you know, how continuous the function is and stuff like that. If I recall right, it has to be absolutely integrable. And you can read the details there. So I pass that out for, you know, so that you have a, you know, kind of completeness there. So that not just do we say that, hey, this is the way you find the coefficients, but it actually does equal, you know, m is the limit m goes to infinity. And I won't plague you with that, you know, that proof, but some of you, you know, like to read those things and say, convince yourself it's really true, and it's a good thing to do. So I guess at this point I probably ought to stop and ask, what questions do you have? Do you think you understand this well enough to do the homework problem that I assigned you last day?
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm waiting for is tomorrow. We can all sort of
sit around.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I should remind you, if you have a laptop, you know, and you've got Octave installed on it, you know, bring it by. If not, just come and you know, we're going to sit in teams of like two. So if you don't have one, it's not a big deal. You can, you know, can get together with somebody who does. And we'll do a tutorial, and I've got some little Octave problems to work on.
I
sent Dave an email and he hasn't replied to my email, so I don't know. I guess I've just got to go over and see him, you know. Yeah. I think it, from last quarter, we did get it working on 10.6. So, you know, I think we can do that. The 10.5, I didn't get it going last quarter, but the 10.6 worked just fine. So I'm pretty sure we'll be able to do that. But I sent Dave an email, and I haven't heard anything back from him. I'm guessing because it must not be an easy thing for him to scrounge up a copy of OS 10 for me, you know, a newer version. I don't know. Because he just hasn't replied. I'm guessing that's the reason. But I, you know, maybe he's, you know, I'm going in his spam bucket or something, too. I don't know. Anybody asking for anything, send it off to the Barracuda. Okay. So anyway, we have that. Are there questions about the Octave script? Do you understand what this script did? And it wasn't that hard to do. Maybe I should show you a couple other things here. What time do we quit?
25.
So we got 5 minutes. Let me show you how to beautify your graph, okay? Because you see, you can use this MATLAB and Octave for more things than just LNA. This is good for when you have to write those lab write-ups. You can write better graphs, make nicer graphs in MATLAB and Octave than you can in Excel, okay, with less effort, okay? It's especially stuff that uses equations.
Because
okay?
It isn't the kludge.
Yeah, it isn't the kludge, that's right. Or kludge, or whatever you say, yeah. So let's make this a little better. You saw the red line here, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted, like, you know, when you're plotting things that are actually data, normally you don't use a line for data, you use points, right? If I wanted points, I would have said red O's or red stars or red X's or red whatever kind of point you want there, okay?
Can you put red periods?
I think you can. You want to try? Let's just try.
So you just do R dash.
Just R period, like that. Whoops, period, like that. Let's try it.
Oh, reduce
S.
Yes.
Okay. Reduce M. Let's see, that's a 10. Okay, save. So we'll go back here. Yeah, I think I cleared it. So here, you see the little periods? I guess you can see them up there, right? So, okay, so that's one thing.
So it maps it using the symbol you
use. Whatever symbol you put in there, I think. Or maybe not every symbol, but you know, most of the ones that would kind of make sense. Oops, where is it? There it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you do a bunch of asterisks connected by a line?
Well, then you need to plot two things. Like, suppose I wanted to put this thing that way and I wanted to see it with the lines on there. So I could also go, you can put more things in here than just one plot. So I could put T, and then I could put sum, and then this time I would go with, let's say black, or black, what's B? Black, let's hear, black, you wanted a line? Maybe it's K, I don't know.
K,
something like that. Maybe B would be blue.
Blue is B.
Yeah, B is blue. So if I save this, let's see. Now that should have both of them on there. So I'll run this again and then find it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is black, I think.
Yeah.
And then it went over top of the red dots, right? Or the red dots went over top of it, right? It seems okay.
There's
right.
No fancy way to put, you know, asterisk, comma, dash.
Maybe, but I don't know what it is. This is what I usually do. I mean, I don't know.
You have to plot it twice.
Yeah. Now, suppose we wanted to answer, Aaron's question here, and since I don't know, and most of the time, you know, you don't know. It's not somebody there to tell you this. So you go help plot. So we do help plot. Okay, so here it has a whole bunch of stuff about plot. And you read all this stuff very carefully, and it tells you, you know, here's some defined, this is the line styles down here that Aaron was asking about, right? So sets the plot style, interpret as a color, if n is an integer in the range 1 to 6, and C, K was black. See, he had read this before, right? So, and red and green, and B would have been blue, right? And you can put, you know, a title and other things on there. You can put labels on. I'll show you how to do that. And here, you know, here's an example command here. You know, they're using pluses and asterisk and so on here. So, you know, you can look at all this thing and try it all out. You know, they give you some examples down here, which is good. Okay. So I'm done with reading that. Suppose I wanted to look for a graph. Okay, where is that? K, F, O, R. Look for a graph. So I'm looking for graph, and here are all the, you know, commands that had graph in them, and, you know, maybe plot would be amongst them. Gplot3. So, looks like that's all of them. Maybe it doesn't have the word graph in the plot statement, you know, so then you're out of luck, right? So anyway, let me go fix this thing up because we've only got like 2 seconds left before we should stop. We should probably put some things on here. We could put a title. This is a plot. And you can type X label. Is the t-axis and y-label and then you could also do a legends if you wanted to. Suppose I plotted three things on there, you can put the legend in for each, you know, each one of them, you know. I don't know what happens when you go hold on and you do a legend, but we could try it. See, one, well, I'll do one, and then, whoops, comma, two, comma, three, I do that. So I don't know if the legend is going to work or not, but we'll see. So I go for back to Fourier gas. Looks like it didn't complain. Let's see what it looks like. Yeah, I've got 1, 2, 3. Looks like, you know, it's got the first 2, 3 terms there or something. They're all blue, of course. Yeah. And you got your this is the plot and all that stuff, you know. And then you can also print this out, you know, you can print it to a JPEG or a PNG, or you can, you know, so you can include it in your lab write-up or something. And that's the print command. I should also mention there's some notes on this kind of stuff on FWeb. If you look on the wiki on FWeb. That's on a similar thing as on FWeb. So.
That worksheet
do
tomorrow?
Which one?
The one you handed out today.
Windows. Oh,
for attendance purposes.
Yeah. I'm. It's either tomorrow or Wednesday. I'll accept it either time, probably for the one that's on Tuesday. But yeah.
Okay.
Tuesday is kind of different. It's like class, but maybe I should say tomorrow to make sure everybody comes tomorrow, right?
Okay. Yeah. I have Octave downloaded, but I have a few questions, so I'm probably finding Tuesday.
Yeah, come and find me, and we can work on it. Yeah,
okay.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
How would I get something to take a string of numbers and input them in a series? Say I have a whole long set of numbers, and I want to input them into a function like this. To the and
every one of them you want to move to the end, or just so like you might move this to the end, that to the end, make that to the end.
Yeah.
Or you want a sum?
Yeah.
Okay. What I would do is I would do just like what we just did here with this thing.
Well, say I already have a list of numbers in a list set.
So all you just wanted to sum up those, then you just use the sum, S-U-M. And then open parentheses, that list of numbers, except, you know, you'd probably want to do that list of numbers. You wanted to raise it to the end, so you do sum, your list, point caret to the end.
Okay.
So.
Except that the list
is
like this.
Sure, right, it's like that, right. So suppose this was T, okay? And so you would do sum
I have
of T point star to the end. Assuming n was defined.
Like up there,
and that'll sum up to this one. But is it oh, n is a thing that changes with your term number?
Yeah.
Then I would do this thing like this. I would do n equals 1 colon length L-E-N-G-T-H of what is it? Whatever your first T was. So that would mean n would go 1, 2, 3, 4 up to length of t. So the first, and so when you did this thing right here.
Do I have to put in brackets?
No, just this is a colon. You could put a semicolon after it, didn't want to see it all. That's
yep.
We have parentheses, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because
yeah.
I'm trying to convert binary, a very, very long string of binary into
something else,
which is not.
There may be a conversion thing that would just change it, but your digits are all in a matrix.
My digits are all in a series, and I'm trying to convert into decimal form. So these are the decimal. The if I had a binary set. That would be 4 plus 8. That's 12.
So you're trying to convert this number into that.
3.
Mm-hmm. 12 point. 3 times 10 to the minus. 4 or something. 0, say 10 to the minus 1, 2, 3, 10 to the minus 3. That 3 times.
That's 7, 5?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
3 times 5.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that looks right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because this would be halves, this is quarters, and this is.
Eighth.
So this has got a quarter plus an eighth,
okay.
Which is 375.
I can do this. What I'm trying to do is a string of numbers that's over, I think it's about 16 digits long.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I could do that by hand.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Octave may have a way of just, you know, you tell it it's a binary number and it'll convert.
It has a way to do that, but once you start going to here, that's when it breaks down, because it's...
It only works for integers, huh?
Yeah. I don't know a way to flip it around either. If I can flip the number stream, it'd be nice.
Well, you could take the fractional part of this, you know, and then if you know where the decimal point is, it's times 2 to the minus, you know, 2 to the 1, 2, 3, right? So this would be like, this is 1, 1 is like, 1, 1 is like, it's 2 plus 1, so that'd be 3 quarters, or 3 eighths. This is in the eighths position. So this would be, if you take 1, 1, which is, this is like a binary 3, right? 1, 1 would be 3, and this is eighths because it's 3 digits, so it's... It's this number times 2 to however far it goes over here.
Yeah.
To the minus that number.
Yeah, so let's see if I can get this pen to work. So
anyway, I probably need to get the picture here before I forget.
So
mess it up there.
So it's some.
So I was assuming you had a vector that had all these things in each space.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you have actually a number or whether you spaced it out with those vector element by element.
I have a number. I copied it out of a textbook.
Okay, so you have a number. So you might want to look at, let's look at... Well, sometimes it's faster to go to Google, too. You just look for, go to Google and look for MATLAB.
I did, and the conversion doesn't look like it'll work for, I have to make sure it's a string when I enter it into the convert to binary.
Convert decimal to binary.
You have to go down to that one.
Binary to decimal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a string to numeric, but what about numeric to numeric? And C, what do you do normally? You do binary is like B or something. And 0, 1, B. No. Or you could use, in Octave or MATLAB has this thing printf too, right? And that's printf does format conversions.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the issue of the format. I just, it's because I'm converting from the.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how I could take a string of numbers and parse them.
Well, what you could do is you parse them. You parse till the decimal point. You get your answer for that with this bin binary to decimal. And then you take the other one right there, and you do that other one again. And I think it's like 1 over the thing or something, right? Or except not, well, no, it's times 2 to the minus number of digits.
Yeah.
So it's that number times 2 to the minus number of digits after the decimal place.
So essentially I have to...
I don't know if that's the best way, but you could certainly do it that way, probably.
I can, yeah, it looks like I'll have to manually convert it by hand to a...
To a string?
No, to an array.
Yeah, right, yeah, if you were going to use this other method, you'd want to do an array, but it looks like this would work nicely with strings, and then there's some numeric to strings, you know, conversion. Int to str, or...
Yeah, I already got that.
Yeah.
I already saw that site and did
yeah.
It. It's just,
mm-hmm.
There's got to be a better way, because...
Right, there may be, yeah, I haven't had to do that. You know, most of the stuff you do with Octave, at least that I've done, has been, more numerical kind of, you know, calculation kind of things oriented, not so much changing bases or whatever. No.
Your UT function, I could use your UT function.
Kind of.
So that even if I subtract 1, it's not going to cause a big issue. But
yeah,
it would limit errors long term. But I can do that. Sorry, I was off on another tangent on how to limit errors when I'm subtracting in binary.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to say. You know, there's a number of things you could do, probably.